This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave Leventhal is joining us on the WBEN Trocare College Live Line, our Washington insider. A stunning breach of national security, Dave, and plenty of reaction from both sides. Top Trump officials sharing war plans on a messaging app with a journalist mistakenly added to the chat. What can you tell us more about this?
Every Democrat and Republican who I've talked to about this, Susan, in the past day have said that this is one of the most boneheaded, unforced errors that they've seen at the national security level in modern U.S. history. This just simply didn't have to go down this way. It didn't have to happen. For people not familiar with what Signal is, it's a messaging app similar to what you would use on your iPhone or your Android phone. It has security protocols in it. I use it all the time to communicate with sources, but this is not something that the government should be using under any circumstance to discuss war plans. It's an unclassified app. There are much more secure ways for top government officials to communicate. And when I talk about top government officials, Jeffrey Goldberg, the editor of The Atlantic, said that he was added to this chat. He didn't ask to be in it. And this chat included Vice President J.D. Vance, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, and a whole host of others, including National Intelligence Director Tulsi Gabbard. And it appears that he was added to this chat by National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, a former congressman from Florida. And he still doesn't quite know how he got added to this chat.
It's an incredible story and so many things to kind of take out of it. It begs the question, I mean, who else is on how many other chats that might exist?
Well, exactly, Brian. And, you know, the question here is to what end here and how often is this happening? How often is Signal being used? Are there other communication types of platforms that are being used that go against the standard protocol for something of this sort? And we're not talking about an idle conversation here like, hey, what are you going to do on the weekend? We're talking about bombing Houthi rebels in the country of Yemen using U.S. military forces to destroy and to kill enemy forces. And top-level information being shared in this, at least as it was described by Jeffrey Goldberg, which I should note that none of this is in dispute. The White House has already come out and said that these chats are authentic, and this is something that is real. And Pete Hegseth, the defense secretary, he was very angry about this, of course, as you might be able to imagine, and he attacked Jeffrey Goldberg. But at the same time, too, this was not Jeffrey Goldberg, got to underscore this, saying, oh, hey, I'm going to sneak onto this chat, or I did something underhanded. He just started getting these messages and quite literally sat in a parking lot outside of a supermarket, as he told it, and waited after the chat was over to see if what was on the chat came true. And 2 hours later, bombs started to fall.
As I mentioned before, so many different things you could take from this, including the reaction from the vice president. You know, in this story, the vice president is kind of quoted in saying, well, you know, this is what the president says, but here's why we might not want to do this airstrike. And a spokesperson for the vice president, you know, when they're asked to respond to this entire story, what they're quoted as in the story is saying, hey, vice president's totally aligned with the president. Don't take anything that we said in this chat to mean that we're not seeing eye to eye. I mean, is that kind of a strange reaction to you?
Of course, it's a strange reaction, and the White House has a massive mess on its hands. Donald Trump has a massive mess on his hands, and I think a very logical next question is, are heads going to roll as a result of this? You would think that Michael Waltz, the national security advisor who appears to have added Jeffrey Goldberg to this chat in the first place, would be first and foremost under scrutiny for being fired, that this would be a colossal security breach in the eyes of President Trump of the level of having to dismiss him. But again, there were a number of other top level government officials, people in the presidential line of succession, the vice president of the United States, and including a vice president who did seem to be contradicting some things that the president might want and say. Donald Trump himself, he briefly addressed this yesterday. He said he didn't know anything about it. That is kind of a head scratcher in and of itself. And a lot is going to have to come out in the wash today and in this week, because it truly is something that is just eye-popping in isolation, and also raises all of these sorts of questions about what else is happening that would lead to the United States potentially having a self-own here and in putting itself in a position where other types of national secrets are being debated and discussed, and operational efforts being put into motion in a unsecure fashion. I mean, oftentimes you have to get these people physically in a room, safe rooms in government facilities that are defended against spying and against bugs and all the other things that foreign adversaries would potentially want to use, and get them in those rooms to discuss such high-level matters such as this.
Dave, I want to switch here and talk about something you've written for Fortune magazine, the Tesla backlash that we're witnessing around the country due to Elon Musk with what he's doing in his role with Doge. You're looking at it from a money perspective.
Absolutely, Susan. And what I found is that hardly any Republicans in Congress are personally investing in any companies or cryptocurrencies that are backed by either Elon Musk or President Trump himself, which to a number of observers I talked to said, well, that may probably indicate that they're not very good investments at this point in time. So big curiosity out of that. But what I was struck by was that there were half a dozen Democrats in Congress who had been actively buying and selling and trading Tesla stock ever since Donald Trump became president of the United States. So with all this talk about, is Tesla good or Tesla bad? Should you buy a Tesla? Tesla's being burned and dealerships being attacked. You do have several Democrats who are personally and actively involved with their own personal finances in Tesla itself. I talked to all of them for the story, so you can read it in Fortune.
Well, Dave, we'll do that, and thanks for joining us. Talk to you again soon. Dave Leventhal, Washington Insider, joining us live.